crux of this is these are benefits to your salvation. Salvation isn't just about I'm going to heaven. Salvation is there's provision for me on earth while I'm getting ready to go to heaven, right? If you were taking a bus ride home, when you're in the bus station, you're not just going to act out and go crazy and, you know, miss the bus because you're just going to, you're waiting, you're looking, you're anticipating, you're getting things ready. Same thing with heaven. So YOLO doesn't work in the kingdom. YOLO's messed a lot of people up because there is more to life, and we are to have an impact and an effect on one another. So tonight, what I want to do, the first thing, everybody have notes? Everybody have notes? Okay, so we're going to have a little different thing. I want you to hear this song. It's an old song, okay, but it's my alarm on my phone, and it's called Bulletproof, okay? So you have the lyrics, and Lauren, can we show that video? Yeah? If not, we'll get Mike in here. There you go. Ooh, let's have some sound. That's not it. I can hear it. There's something interfering with it. Let's start over and try again. I could just play it on my phone, like you could hear it there. Oh, that's it. This is my alarm every morning. Isn't this a fun song? Follow. Down, 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 down Love that song. Do you like that song? Isn't that so good? Because you know what? First thing in the morning, I got to remember that. I shouldn't be afraid of anything because he loves me and he's made a way. So you're like, yeah, well, you know, I got a bullet and take you down. The only thing you're going to take me down is just on the ground because everything else is going up. I'm just telling you. And I remember when Steve, when we lived in L.A., he and another guy in our church used to go out to the barrios and the really rough places. You know, like the police wouldn't even go in there after dark. Man, they'd go down there and take food and do stuff. And people would always be like, aren't you scared? And I'd be like, no, because everything's in God's control. If it's time, it's going to happen. If it's not, it's not. And what a way to go. You know, you don't have to have those fears. And I just thought that was so fitting tonight for the armor of God, because we're going to be talking about the shield of faith. So Ephesians 6:16 on page 830 in your pew Bible, if you're turned there, we're going to read this little thing together. Now, I have a different version on the screen and on your notes because I like the way the English Standard Version says it. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So here's the thing. As believers, we should, not that we do, but we should recognize nobody's perfect. And I don't know, except that we're living in the flesh, that we keep expecting somebody else to do something perfect when we're completely not willing to do perfect things if we get mad or angry. But we want everybody else to toe the line, right? That's just how it is, because that's the flesh. But he's made a provision for us so that we don't have to do that. So I've called this Shields Up because, you ever watch like Star Trek or those things and they have the shields up and like this big, you know, shining bubble comes around them and nothing can penetrate and you're like, yeah, I really believe that's how it is with God. I really do. And I think that when I'm not in God, I put the shield down. So tonight we're going to talk about that shield because he's talking about the three things. Remember, Paul is in prison, okay? He's writing this from prison, so he's seeing these guards come in and out with all their full array, and everybody's like in awe of them and afraid of them, but listen to me. Everybody looks at what other people have on the outside. Everybody's so concerned about what they have and how they look and, ooh, they got it made or, man, they got this. I need to get that. Paul is in prison, still in victory, looking at them and saying, it's not everything that's on the outside, guys. You have just as much, but it's on the inside. You just can't see how powerful you are. That, my friends, is the definition of faith. You can't see it. But it is there, and it is for you. So he gives us some armor things that you know, you need to have. We've already studied those. You need to have the belt of truth. You need to have the breastplate of righteousness, and you need to have the combat boots of the gospel, okay? There's a scripture here that says that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to those who put their trust in him. So here's the thing. We think of the shield like Captain America. You know, it's like this shield or, you know, like the little pointy thing that comes down and looks kind of like a little triangle thing. We think of that as the shield of faith. That is not what he was talking about, because he's watching these Roman soldiers. And at this point, what they're really doing, their shields were entirely different. We'll look at that in a minute. But now he says, you've got to have this, the thing that's underneath, you're under. The thing that's underneath that nobody sees, you've got to have truth. You've got to have it. Because without truth, everything else will fall apart. Somebody can convince us. The enemy will come in and convince us that we are terrible, that we are worthless, that God wouldn't pay a price for you. Those are all lies according to the Word of God. And yet, we all fall for it. Now, before I go any further, is there anybody in here that you want to just stand up and let us know that you're already perfect because you're a Christian? Anybody? Well, at least you didn't stand up. You're cute. No, why? Because Christians, being a Christian isn't saying I'm perfect. Being a Christian is saying, I recognize in this world what the Word has already told us, you're going to have trouble. He told you that. He said, in this world, it's going to be hard. He said, in this world, you're going to face persecution. You've got an enemy who's aiming at me and wants to shoot through you to get to me. But guess what? He can't have your soul. The only weapons of the enemy, it's lies, it's accusations, it's fault finding, division and hate. And it's all based on a lie. Think about it. The first thing he's going to do is get you to believe something negative about you, and then you'll see it in everybody else because you feed it, right? And so he's come to say, hey, I came to give you life and life abundant. I came to take over that. I came to give you joy. There'll be grieving and sorrow, but joy's going to come in the morning because I'm going to take care of you. And we can believe that. So the armor now, that we have to have those things. But what now? The breastplate, he said, you have to cover your heart. That's where your emotions are. We get so caught up in emotions leading us instead of truth. And then he says, your feet with the gospel of peace. And we talked about that last week because it's like tug of war. Dude, if you ain't wearing shoes with cleats, your team gonna lose. I don't care who's strongest, they'll pull you down. So we need to be ready for that battle. But the armor that I have to take, the thing that I have to choose to pick up, it's the necessary moments of spiritual warfare and opposition that are either natural or supernatural. I'm going to have some natural things happen. Anybody really can just look and say, man, this world is in great shape. I just look forward every morning getting up just thinking, wow, this, you know, man, everybody's so loving. And no, because there's going to be natural things. Even if you're having a good day, somebody you love can have a bad one and just pull it right out from under you. You can be doing good and serving God, and how many of you by a raised hand will say, man, it's the time when I'm really trying to serve God that I have the hardest battle? Why is that? Because you have value. He says in the Word, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. No thief is going to come up at, listen, no thief's going to come up in here and steal our offering, okay? That thief is going to be headed to a bank, okay? You see what I'm saying? So the things that we think, you know, man, I'm just worthless. No. Whenever you begin to walk in confidence with God, whenever you begin to realize the price that Jesus paid for you, that you're not just a second-hand anything, that you're not worthless like the world wants to tell you, and to make you find your value by something in your appearance or something that you've done in your past, praise God. He's just saying, let me be that and show you what you're worth, because the price has been paid. So in this scripture, in our text, he says that you can do. You can. That word is dynamai, and of course that's where dynamite comes from. There's a force behind it. And this means that you're able to do, you have power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources, or of a state of mind, or through favorable circumstances, or by permission of law or custom. Second definition is that you are to be able to do something. And the third is to be capable, strong, and powerful. So when he says you can do this, it's the same. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is possible. Now get this. I've seen him back me in a corner sometime to get me to use the power that he's given me. True? Yeah. Because I just want to be passive. We don't want any conflicts. We don't want to, I kind of don't want to deal with that. You know, hoping they'll just let that go. No. He's going to back me in the corner until I'm ready to say, you know what, God? I am sick of this. I don't want this in my life anymore. Lord, I'm turning this over to you. This is something only you can do. And man, when we do that, That is so in line with him to come on the scene and take over. And that, giving up, is how to take hold. So we're going to look at that tonight, taking hold of that. There's purposes in this shield. The shield described here is threefold. So we're going to look at the purposes for defense and offense. This is what the shield looks like that Paul saw. It's not that little shield. It was as big as a door. It had four corners, and the corners were not rounded, okay? And the reason you can see here is because the shield itself was rounded, but this is just so good. Fiery darts were the first thing the enemy did. Think about these old movies you've seen back in the medieval times, or if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings or any of those movies, and you see that they start shooting these little fire, just multiple at a time. They'll say to the first line, fire! And the first thing they do is fire these arrows first, right? Just like raining these arrows down. Well, the purpose in that was that so the fiery dart was just the first attack, because what they really wanted to do was to get them to freak out at the magnitude of what was coming to them, and when they freaked out, they would turn, and they'd get them, and they'd run, just by sheer fear. The second thing you have to realize is what's happening here. I call it linkability. It's where they could literally stand in a group, and this group is in line because of what they're facing it head on, but they could literally even make a circle, and they could cover their heads, and the linkability made them mobile because they could move forward if they stayed in rank. Listening with spiritual ears? If you stay in rank with the Word of God and who God says you are, the thing that I love about the fiery darts, I really think this is where this phrase came from, fight fire with fire. I know that, you know, oil well fires and things, they go in and explode them with dynamite to make them go out. Does it make sense? But I think the way that phrase came is because God says he puts a fiery hedge of protection around us, and when the fiery darts come, it just consumes them. He fights fire with fire. God's not afraid of a battle. The devil is, and he'll get you to do the work for him. And then he'll accuse you and fault find you once you do what he says. There's never going to be peace with the devil. Don't bargain with him, because you're worth more than that. And the third thing that we see here, not just to keep them from the first attack, not just the linkability, but here's what I love. They can't see. They're just going to stand. Now, the one guy who can see, who's the leader, is going to say, left, left, forward, forward. And they're so used to that, those drills that, you know, everybody thinks are worthless. No, they have a purpose because that drill has you so tuned in to which way to go. And then there's just the time to stand still. Exodus 14:14. Stand still and see the salvation of God. You don't have to figure it out. That's the beauty of serving God. You just have to be obedient to what you're hearing at the moment. And some of you may hear, go to bed and take a nap. Some of you may hear, turn the music up louder so it overrides your mind and you can get a rest. And some of you may hear, go weed the flower bed, right? Whatever it is that you need to do, but God will do it. I'm telling you, God is amazing when we give in to him with this. So they couldn't see. This to me is the definition of faith. Your shield's up. I'm just going to stand here and I'm just going to wait. And when all this rigmarole's over, I'm not going to watch how many arrows come at me and freak out. I'm going to stay behind the shield of faith. That means I don't have to see the end of this because I trust God with the end, because he's the end and the beginning both. He doesn't stop. When something ends, baby, it's just beginning. Okay? He's got it all. And then there's a quote here from Bruce. This is a former theologian. I like this. It says, Even when such a missile was caught by the shield and did not penetrate to the body, says Levy, it caused panic because it was thrown when well alight and its motion through the air made it blaze most fiercely, so that the soldier was tempted to get rid of his burning shield and expose himself to the enemy's spear thrust. But the shield of faith not only catches the incendiary devices, but extinguishes them. Because here's what happened. You go back to these movies, you've seen it. All the arrows, and then the second line came out with the swords. So if you were freaked out and moving your shield, well, they just got you right away. But if you knew where the enemy, if you knew to keep that shield and just keep moving forward, it wasn't just defending you from the fiery darts. It wasn't just defending you from the sword. And I didn't give you the pictures they showed. These things are like dented up and mashed. It wasn't just a defensive thing, but it was offensive, because what it did, because their boots had these spikes and things in them to hold, what they did, they were able to shove them over with the shield and give it to them with the sword. Right? You've seen these movies, but you just see them with these little tiny things, you know, like, woo-hoo-hoo, you know, not taking your feet out from under you. But that was what was happening. And the other thing is, though our thoughts and feelings and imaginations and fears and lies, all these things can be hurled at us by Satan as fiery darts, but faith turns them back, not with reasoning and not with blame, but with trust. What's the number one thing that the enemy always tries to come in and do when God's concerned? Break off your trust. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Did God really say? Well, he just thought you were going to be smarter than him. What? He's God. He made me. Right? Can a Model A Ford know more than Henry Ford? Think about it. What are you saying? And here we are, letting the enemy accuse God through people. Well, if God was good, I'm so sick of this. Me, not God. Sorry, Lord. He's told me repeated times he does not need me to defend him. But somehow I feel it is my job. But I'm so tired of people saying, if God was good, how come this happened? How come there's evil in the world? There's evil in the world because the devil said he was better than God, and God cast him to the earth and told him that's where he was going to stay, and he was going to make a people who were going to show him how to live out the life, and those people got in agreement with the devil, and the deed to earth went over to the enemy. But he is coming back, and when the seventh seal is opened, which is the biblical Jewish time, when the seventh seal on the legal documents comes undone, the possession of the land reverts back to the person who opened the seals. And Jesus Christ is coming back, and those seals are being opened. Surely as we sit here, I can't give you the time, I can't give you the information to what it is, but I don't think there's much in the Bible you're going to find that hadn't already happened. And when that seventh seal is opened, the enemy's power is done. The only tool that you and I have that he wants is agreement with him. That's it. If you don't agree with him, he can't do anything. But he just wears at you and wears at you, and you watch him wear at your children, and you watch him wear at those you love, and you just want to do something about it, but you can't fix anybody else. All you fixers. You can pray and you can believe, and sometimes I do believe that's why people get backed into the corner, is out of love. Till you realize you're out of your resources, then you'll go to the source. And you'll recognize, guys, every person in here is going to come to a time, if you haven't already, where you recognize there is nothing I can do about this. And he's there waiting for you. So he's provided this. So Paul's looking at this, and it's almost like he's kind of laughing, like, hey, they got all this big armor. All you Christians are so scared of them. And what you have is more powerful, because those things are going to fade away. What you have is only going to intensify. The only power the enemy has is my agreement with him. If I don't buy the lie, he has no power. It is that simple. And it is so hard. Why? Because we want people to like us. We want people to affirm us. We want what we've done to be appreciated. Right? And my eyes should be fixed on him. Because I'm telling you, he's doing marvelous and amazing things for those who will not move but get in agreement with God. And here's why. Agreement with the enemy is praise. It's a form of praise. And the enemy wants the praise of God because he said in heaven, I'm as good as. And he challenged God. And he's feeding off our agreement because to him it's praise. And he goes before God and says, look at this one. Look what this one's done. And then like with Job, God will say, but look at that one. Ooh, give him to me. Let me have him. I'll show you. And the man who stands in agreement with God may lose everything he has, but God will restore to him more than what the enemy took, and better. Let's just take this for a minute with Job. Here's Job getting up every morning with, I believe it was 10 sons and daughters who lived heinous lives, right? They're with the guy who's got money, right? They're partying it up. They don't care. You know, dude, my dad, he rocks. Let's roll. Come on. So they're having a great time, right? And Job is getting up every morning and sacrificing. God was the best animal lover there ever was. He got rid of animal sacrifice. Because there has to be a blood exchange. Something has to die. And so the blood exchange was this. He'd go in, Job would kill all these bulls and stuff. Like, we act like that took him an hour. Dude, think about it, just to kill one, and he had all those kids, but he continually sacrificed, and in the evening he prayed over them. That's how much he loved them, but he could not save them, and the message is still the same today. I can pray, and I can believe, but I can't save anybody. But I'm not going to quit praying that God will put them in the place where they recognize, no longer by the enemy's lies, but recognize, dude, Shields up. Let's just have some faith. It's time to trust God. And I want you to know this. I've seen God bless people that we could have taken a poll and nobody would agree they needed to be blessed. Might even make you mad that they're blessed. But I want to tell you something. We don't know the hearts of other people. But this I do know. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Like people who don't love God, they got better looking gardens and yards than I do. That ain't God's fault, that's mine, okay, really. All right, you see what I'm saying? It's not just like, oh, well, see that dead yard? They don't love the Lord. No, it rains on the just and the unjust because God wants to help every man to come to a full knowledge of him. So that he can prosper, so that he can be in health, so that he can keep peace in his mind. Man, guys, what is that worth to you? Like, aren't we like a $1 trillion industry for drugs now? Legalized drugs? Because our minds have no peace? I want to tell you, I believe in the King of Kings. There's been things in my life. My life is no different than yours. The devil may tell you you have it worse than me, but you don't, because we all hurt the same. And he knows what's going to get to me. And it may not be the same thing that gets to you, but he gets to us all. So we all hurt the same. And there have been things in my life that I'm telling you, I could have wigged out, could have lost it, thought I was going to lose it sometimes. God, I don't understand. God, why God? Why God? Why God? wake up refreshed because I just wore my mind out. Let the Spirit of God speak to me. Started off with a song like Bulletproof, you know. Hey, this is you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not arrogant. I'm confident. I don't get in there and say, God, you owe me. Who you think you messing with, bro? Look what I've been doing for you. I don't do all that stuff. I get in the car and I just say this, God, that's your deal. There is nothing I can do about that. And I usually cry, shock. But I tell him, God, that's your deal. That's on you. I can't do that. When they found that lymph node on Jake that was as big as an egg on the back of his neck, and they flew in a specialist from Boston because they had never seen something that size on a 9-year-old kid ever recorded, and his white count levels are like over 3,000 every day, and I'm taking him morning and night for 5 days to see if the levels change, and they don't. There was nothing I could do. So I did what I knew I could do. And he's in the bed one night, and I didn't want to scare my kid and use the, you know, lymphoma, you know, and all that stuff. And I heard him say it out in the hallway. They didn't tell me. They said, we're going to give this one more day. It's because they were bringing in more specialists. I knew what they were doing. Anyway, but Dr. Zielberg, beautiful Jewish man. So Dr. Zielberg, he comes in, we're just going to give this one more day. And Jake's like, how many more Dracula shots do I have to take? And they're like, just, we're going to do it one more day. So they go in, and that night, I'm desperate. Diane, there is nothing I can do. And that is my baby boy. And there's nothing I can do. Wait. Yes, I can. And I got in that room while he was asleep between 2 and 3 in the morning because I couldn't sleep because I knew we were headed for another Dracula shot. And I got in that room and I walked around over him. And I said to God, not arrogant, but just simply, I can't do it. Just simple, I'm done. I said, God, that is your son before he was ever mine. You sent him to me. All you gave him to me for is to entrust him to me. I can't heal him. I can't fix him. I didn't create him, but you created him. And you can fix what you created, but I can't do it. Now that's your son, and I'm giving him back to you. I've already dedicated him to you. I'm giving him back to you, and I want you to bring him back to me whole. Because there's nothing else I can do. And I'm talking loud, like I'm like, God, you know, why would you do that? And I just went into the bedroom. I was completely calm. I had a perfect peace because I had given that to God, and the enemy had just twisted me with fire. It's not going to happen. What if he doesn't have it? He goes, where we go? You know what? Okay, so we go in the next day. And when we get ready, we're going in, and I'm like, Jake, we're going to pray together. Believe God has this. We're going to pray. We go in. They do the Dracula shot. That's drawing his blood. We go in and sit down, and he says, Jake, what are you thinking today? We had to wait for him to get the results from the test. This is a true, it's documented. And Jake looked at him, and he said, Dr. Zielberg, I just think I need my tonsils out. And I went, and he said, well, Jake, that is the exact conclusion we've come to. Your levels have dropped back to normal. And we just think it was so much infection in your body that your body couldn't handle it. And he said, what makes you think that, Jake? And he said, because Dr. Zielberg, my blood is Jesus' blood, and there's nothing wrong with his blood. I'm like, I didn't tell him that, right? I limited what God can speak to a child. Have you ever been a child and felt the peace of God and knew that there was something more, but the enemy wanted you to get disappointed at what didn't happen? Yeah, that didn't happen. That didn't happen because God loved you enough to prevent you from going into something you would love more than him and being destroyed by it. Hello, those who've been in those relationships. I should have had an amen. Amen. But I know better. I'm going to go on with myself, right? So I'm telling you this because there's a place when I say, it's no longer me, but it's him. I have to have faith to quench the fire because it's all going to come at you at once. Bam, 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 bam. Here's the beauty of that shield. Shields weren't made like that after a while. These shields were made out of wood. They're made out of wood, and they were covered with a leather that was embossed, a skin of some type. And they would go in before battle and soak these in water. Why? Because when the fiery dart came, it extinguished it. What does the Bible say the water represents? Two things. The Word, the washing of the Word, and the Spirit of God. And this is so important to me. You can't have the Word of God without the Spirit of God. Because people take the Bible out of context and they use it like a weapon to hurt you and penetrate. Well, if you do this, Jesus, God said, okay, I'm going to try. Man, that felt like love. Not that we shouldn't tell people when they're in trouble. Dude, this is why you keep repeating the same thing. Hello. After a while, catch on, dude, right? But the truth of it is that what happens is the Spirit of God will say to you, hey, that's not what that scripture means. He didn't want me to think I'm better than everybody else. He didn't treat me like I'm more special than Linda Thacker. And he didn't give me more troubles than he gave Linda Thacker. He gave us both what he knew we could handle, and he gave us faith to overcome it so that the next person who's going through it, we can say, look, my best advice to you is, let it go, let it go. Yeah, right? Give it to God. You think you're going to handle it? You think more money's going to solve these things? You think more, you know, trying harder. You think deprivating yourself and degrading yourself and, oh, please, you know, it's going to work. No, none of that's going to work. And when you come to the end of it, the enemy's still standing there to say, oh, well, now look what you've done. God can't love you and work with you. And you go, well, that's true. And you turn and walk off and your back's full of arrows because you turned. Stand, face it, push it over, take the sword of the Word and go, you're done, right? Because we have that power. But the Word of God is always going to line up with the character of who God is. So here's some modern day uses. Does this look familiar? Like, where did we just see this shield? Like, they're learning from people who were effective. So your police today, whether it's against fire or whether it's against bullets, there's something to say for that full armor shield, but you don't sleep at night with the shield on top of you. No, but you do have to have truth. You never take that off. You never take off your heart, keeping your heart covered, and you never take off your peace. Those are things you have to have, but I have to take the sword of the Spirit. I have to take the shield of faith. These are actions that I have to do when I get up. That's why that little song just does it for me, because I remember who he is. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. It doesn't say God needs you to figure it out and tell him and then he'll help you. 1 John 2:13, I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. But he doesn't stop there. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you've won your battle with the evil one. Yeah, he fights fire with fire. He sends a fiery dart at you, and there's a hedge of protection that burns that thing up. But if I am not focused on the things of God, if I'm trying to somebody else to be my God, okay, I don't do that. Yeah, we probably do. You didn't make me happy. You said you were going to make me happy. I'm not happy. Well, guess what? Happiness is like trying to hold Jell-O in your hand and fold it. Okay? It's not there. It's fleeting. But peace, knowing this, I'm not happy about this situation. I'm not glad it happened. You're hearing me pray out loud. God, I'm not happy about this. I am not glad about this. I am not enjoying this. But if you are bringing it to me, it's because I believe you're going to get it through me, and I just want this. Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Jesus, you said it to Judas, and I'm saying it to you. Just whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Let's get this over with. I mean, why not, right? And there are times where I have to wait, and I don't want to wait, but it's because I'm selfish, but there's somebody else who needs to see me go through it, and I just want to be selfish and be done with it. But I can tell you right now, my two kids that are adults, they'll always be my kids, but I recognize they're adults. Parents, please recognize the difference. They're still not your babies. They're adults. Let them go. But my adult children still say to me to this day, Mom, I remember when you. And every time they say, I remember when you, it was something that was hard. Something that I did not want to do. Something that I had to give myself up for. Are you with me in this house tonight? But I stood behind the word of God that he was going to show my kids through my obedience that it can be done. And people today, oh, I'll be so careful with this. People today want to blame somebody else. They want to medicate. I am not against medication, but here's my definition of medication. It's a fire extinguisher. It just gets the fire down where you can deal with the root cause. Help me if I'm wrong, right? I'm on an antibiotic right now. I have a sinus infection. I'm not against doctors, but I'm just telling you, if that's your way out, I can't tell you how many Christian women I know. No man's ever confessed it to me because they don't want to be caught, you know, being wine. They want to do the beer thing, what makes you more of a man, whatever. But anyway, I know so many Christian women who say, you know, I just started having a drink of wine. You know, then I started having a glass of wine so I could just rest and go to bed. You know, I just needed that. And then later they tell me, 2, 3, and then they come in and they're like, I had an empty bottle and I was still on the couch when I woke up. Why? Why? Because the enemy is never going to leave you whole. He's always going to keep you dependent on something and then make you feel guilty about it. Because that's his modus operandi. That's his fingerprints, not God's. So if you want to be strong, give to God. If you want to be mighty in this world, yield to him. If you want to be the greatest, he says, become the least. And I can tell you, I'm living proof that he will have you in places you never thought you would be. I cannot count to you, and this is no joke. My husband will validate this story. When I go places, I end up sitting beside famous people, either in government or movies, and actors and actresses. Are people that are sports, it happens to me all the time. I have no idea, except I'm not gobsmacked by them, right? So these people gave us this ticket, you know, to see the Mavericks play when Lamar Odom was on the Mavericks team. And so I'm sitting here and they gave us these really good seats and Khloe Kardashian walks right here in front of me. I just said, hey, Khloe. She turned around and looked up. I said, girl, I'm praying for you. She goes, what? I said, I am praying for you. I just winked at her. She went, thank you. Thank you. And she walked off and she turned around and she looked at me and went, Guys, stuff like that happens to me all the time. And you might think, oh, that's nothing, whatever. I go home and I'm like, God, help those women. They're lost. They're leading other people lost. It's all about money. Now you don't feel you're valuable till your lips are as big as your chin. Oh, my God, what's happened to us? Right? And you're going to pay for this? Give me some bees out here. Get over here. I'm going to charge you $50 a sting. No, I'm just kidding. But do you see what I'm saying? They're lost. They're lost. Are you praying for them? Or are you talking about them? And so then the next night, I'm like, God, I want you to help that girl. I want you to lead those. Don't talk about people. Pray for them. And give them to the one who created them to fix them. Because every one of us in this room need to be fixed. But there's only one who's going to do it and not charge you and not hold it over your head and not keep a scorecard, because his word says in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrong. And my Bible says God is love. And the devil's a liar, soon to be a friar. I will not be a denier. Oh, come on, stand up with me. I was fixing to go on there. Stand up with me. Yeah, I went 5 minutes over tonight, but I did play that 8-minute song for you, so I kind of have it back. Listen, recognize who you are in Christ. You don't have the tiny shield. You got the big shield. Go. Don't wait for somebody to come to you with their shield. You go and say, I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. Put your shield up, get somebody on the right and the left, and just say, just let me hang here for a minute till I can catch my breath. I don't have the strength to lift up a shield. Are you with me? Quit waiting. Quit waiting for people to save you. There's only one Savior. He's already come. He's already done it. Call on him. He's going to do it again. Amen? Are you fired up? I'm fired up. Fired up, Red. Come on. All right. Yeah, don't let him hit fiery darts. You just let him know, hey, was that a dart? Was that intended for me? Oh, thank you, because you just reminded me I need to be trusting God more. Dude, is that all you got? Come on. I'm still standing. Dad, I just told the devil that I was going to stand. Shields up, shields up, shields up. Yeah, laugh, laugh. God laughs. I know he's laughing. Tonight, I just want you to do this. Close your eyes. Because we don't care, right? Nobody's worried about you. Don't you worry about anybody else. But I want to ask you right now, have you had a wrong view of God? Are you looking at him like he's the one sending the darts? Right now, I just want you to just tell him, hey, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I got talked into that. But you made me and I'm weak, and you know what? Heal this place in me tonight. Heal this place in me, God. Lord, I want to trust you more. Maybe you just need to say, God, I just accept you in my heart and my life. You don't have to go out and hang a sign on the side of your house. Just take it up from tonight. Lord, I just receive you. God, I need this kind of help. I got this anger, God. I got this bitterness. God, I got this freak. God, I got this worry. I got this. Help me, God. I just ask you to come into my heart right now and take over these emotions, God. Lead me and guide me. I'm your kid. Protect me. I admit it. I don't have the answers. Cover me. So whether you're mature or whether you're immature, the word of God still stands for you. That he does not want to leave you. He does not want to forsake you. And I break these lies off right now that we've bought into about who God is and who he isn't. God, I trust you tonight that all things are possible with you to him who believes. And I believe, but like the man in Mark, help my unbelief. Because I still find patches of it, no matter how hard I try. Clear me tonight, God. Clear me tonight, Lord. Clear my mind and my heart. Give us rest tonight, Lord. I pray rest in these bodies and confidence in you to return. And I thank you for that tonight, Lord. You will not disappoint. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And they all said, and whew, amen. All right. Listen, Leslie, do we have everybody we need for summer feeding? Okay. We could still use help cleaning, always. Yes. And summer is probably going to increase the kids that we have coming to church. So if that's something you think you could help with, whether that's like just being a monitor in the hallway, they just need some men to sit in there. We've got kids on Wednesday night that have never been to church before, okay? We have some special needs kids. We just need extra bodies in there so it's kind of like everybody's protected. All right? I love you. Thank you for coming tonight.